background noise, perhaps the engine room. The others were scattered about the yacht, all in place, all awaiting orders. He did not hear Esterhazy's voice. From what he could gather, however, there was no one in the main saloon. With exquisite care, he cracked open the door and peered into the dim but elegant space, panelled in mahogany, with white leather banquettes, a granite-topped bar, and plush carpeting barely visible in the ambient light. He looked around quickly, making sure it was empty. He heard running footsteps in the companionway and a burst of radio chatter. Several men were on their way aft and would reach the saloon momentarily. Quickly, he backed out of the door again, easing it shut. He crouched again in the darkness of the doorwell, ear to the fiberglass panel. The footsteps entered the saloon from the front. From the whispered radio chatter, he learned there were two of them. They were on their way to check on Victor, last seen on the aft deck, who hadn't responded to his radio since launching the burning tender. Excellent. He eased himself around the corner from the door and pressed himself against the aft wall, concealed from above by the overhang. All was once again quiet in the saloon. The two men were waiting and listening as well, evidently spooked. Moving with exquisite care, Pendergast reached an access ladder that ran to the upper aft deck, grasped a rung, and slid himself up, and then, reaching out with one leg, transferred himself from the ladder to a small roof area above the saloon, still hidden from view of the sky deck by a large cowl vent. Stretching out on the polished fiberglass, Pendergast leaned down over the overhang and, with one arm extended, lightly brushed the barrel of his gun on the door. It made a faint noise, no doubt magnified inside the saloon. No response. Now the two men inside would be even more agitated. They couldn't be sure if the sound was random or not, whether someone was outside the door. That uncertainty would, for the time being, keep them in place. Sliding back up on the roof above the saloon, keeping hidden behind the vent, Pendergast pressed the barrel of his less bare against the fiberglass roof and pulled the trigger. A massive explosion sounded in the saloon below as the 45 ACP Black Talon expansion round ripped a hole in the roof, no doubt filling the saloon air with fiberglass and resin dust. Instantly, he skipped off the roof and slid back to the door well as the two panicked men opened fire through the roof with their machine pistols, riddling the area where he had just been and thereby revealing their location within the saloon. One of them did the expected and came charging out the door, firing as he went. Pendergast, positioned behind the door, kicked him hard across the shins as he emerged and then struck him a simultaneous blow to the neck. The man's momentum sent him sprawling face down on deck, unconscious. "Hammer!" came the shout from within the saloon. Without slowing, the agent charged in through the now open door. The second man turned and let loose a burst, but Pendergast had anticipated this, throwing himself to the carpeted floor, rolling and firing a single round into the man's chest. The man slammed backward against a plasma television and collapsed in a shower of glass. Leaping to his feet, Pendergast veered left and exited the port saloon door, then flattened himself against the wall next to the recessed entrance. Hidden beneath an overhang, he paused once again to listen in on the continuing radio chatter, rearranging in his mind his picture of the vessel and the shifting locations of the men on it.
"Zell, respond!" came the voice of the man in charge.
Other voices jammed the frequency, asking in a panic about the gunshots until the Germans shut them up.
"Zell!"
the man called harshly over the radio.
"Do you read?"
Pendergast thought with satisfaction that Zell was beyond all reading. Chapter 70 Esterhazy watched with growing alarm as Falconer spoke into his radio.
"Zell! Hammer! Respond!"
Static sounded over the speakers.
"Damn it!" Esterhazy burst out. "I keep telling you, you're underestimating him."
He slammed his hand on the bulkhead in frustration.
"You've no idea who you're up against. He's going to kill them all, and then come for us." We've got a dozen heavily armed men against one.
You don't have a dozen anymore, Esterhazy shot back. Falconer spat on the floor, then spoke into his headset.
Captain, report.
Captain reporting, sir, came the captain's steady voice.
I heard some shooting in the saloon. There was a fire on one of the tenders.
I'm well aware of all that. What's the status on the bridge?
All's well up here. Gruber's with me, and we're locked and barred and heavily armed. What the hell's going on below?
Pendergast took out Berger and Vic Klemper. I sent Zell and Hammer to the main saloon, and now I can't raise them. Keep your eyes open.
Yes, sir.
Maintain course. Await further orders.
Esterhazy stared at him. Falconer's chiseled features remained calm and collected. He turned to Esterhazy and said,
"This man of yours, he seems to be anticipating our every move. How is that?"
"He's a devil," said Esterhazy.
Falconer turned toward Esterhazy, and his eyes narrowed. He almost looked like he was going to say something, but then turned away, speaking into his headset.
"Bauman!
Here!
Your position!
Upper VIP stateroom, with Eberstark.
Klemper's gone. You're in charge. I want you and Eberstark to join Nast on the sky deck. You go up the aft ladder. Eberstark, you go up the main ladder. If the target is there, catch him in the crossfire. Move with extreme caution. If you don't see him, the three of you sweep the sky and upper decks fore to aft. Forget what I said about taking him alive. Shoot to kill."
"Yes, sir, shoot to kill."
"I want Zimmerman and Schultz on the main deck, in position to ambush anyone coming down either of the two stairways. If you don't kill him on the sky deck, the pincer movement above will drive him below and forward, where they'll be waiting."
"Yes, sir."
Esterhazy paced the narrow engine room, thinking furiously. Falconer's plan seemed a good one. How could Pendergast, even Pendergast, escape five men armed with automatic weapons on a confined boat firing at him from two sides? He looked at Falconer, still calmly speaking into his headset. He remembered with horror the eager look in the man's eyes as he tortured and killed the journalist. It was the first time he'd seen Falconer actually enjoying something, and he recalled Falconer's eyes when he'd spoken of capturing Pendergast. That same eager, anticipatory look, like thirst. Despite the warmth of the engine room, he shivered. He was beginning to realize that even if Pendergast was killed, his problems with the Covenant were far from over. In fact, they might just be beginning.